Okay. We're going to start usually Sunday afternoons when I'm here. Does anyone need? So. Okay. Usually my Sunday afternoon shiurim will be a little bit more excited than principal. It's probably the last one that you want to talk about now or think that you have to address. But you're moving to a different country, starting the yeshiva, preparing for El a little bit, getting ready for Yom and Orion, but there is something very exciting, and that's the concept of Shemitah Tzachin that happens once every 7 years. And it behooves us to prepare for it and actually do it. We'll have a little workshop at the end of this year. I'll try to rush through this in 40 minutes and 35 minutes so we actually can do a principle at the end. If you stop 9 out of 10 people on the street, I think most of the people, and you ask them to describe what Shemitah is, I think most will explain Shemitah is not working the land, and some of them who might be showing off a little bit might explain that there's a concept of Hezer Mechira maybe, or Mechira Karka, of selling the land, and that's where you can harvest some food. Some might be talking about Otsa Aretz, of collecting the fruits. But invariably, no one's really going to mention this other concept called Shemitah Tzachin. Part of this concept of Shemitah, you know, Shemitah, you can't work the ground, you can't work the land for a year, but at the end of Shemitah, there's another halacha, and that's Shemitah Tzachin. If you look in your first page, in Re'eh, Mikei Sheva Shadim Paseh Shemitah, at the end of the Shemitah year, which is going to happen in a couple of weeks from now, that happens, Shemitah ends the moment that Rosh Hashanah the next year begins, after the seven-year cycle. So we have another couple of weeks. Zedvar Shmita Shemo Koba Mashe Yado Ashe Yeshev Re'eyu Lo Yigoset Re'eyu Ave Achiv Kikara Shmita LaHashem. There is a concept of Shmita Tzachin. Shmita Tzachin means that at the end of the Shmita year, all of your debts, all loans are canceled. Basically, the whole concept of a creditor and credit are canceled. And there are no repayments past the Rosh Hashanah of the Shemitah cycle, at the end of the Shemitah. So it means that, God, if I lent you $500 two and a half years ago, and you still are evading paying me back, and all of a sudden, this year, Shemitah finishes by the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, Maariv Rosh Hashanah this year, Shemitah's over, I can't go over to you and say, where's my $500? I can't. It's Usher. It's Shemitah Tzachin. He no longer has a connection to me whatsoever. Not only that, if I go over to him and say, can I have my $500 that I lent you 2 years ago, I'm violating an Issur D'oraisa in the Torah found in Re'eh. I'm violating the concept of Shemitah Tzachin. Even more than that, if you come to me in 3 weeks from now, 5 days after Rosh Hashanah, you come to me and say, you know, Josh or Rabbi, right? I owe you $500. Remember the loan that you gave me 2.5 years ago? I cannot collect that loan. I can't collect it. Shemitah Tzachin means, biblically, the loan is canceled by the end of Shemitah year. The only time that I'm allowed to collect it after Shemitah finished, after Rosh Hashanah, is if you come to me and say, hey, Rabbi, I know that there's a concept called Shemitah Tzachin. I know that I really don't owe you even a penny. However, I'm giving this to you as a gift. That's the only biblical allowance that I have to actually accept that loan, that payment. But there's a concept of Shemitah Tzachin that many people don't know about, that you have to know about. It's found in, you know, Re'eh. It's the end of this year. It happens once every 7 years. It's pretty cool. And that is, not only are we not working the land for the year of Shemitah, but the end of Shemitah, which happens in 2 weeks, is Shemitah Tzachin, that all of our loans will be canceled unless we do something. And that's what we're going to talk about today. In the first century BCE, Hillel HaZaki started looking around, and he saw something very frightening. He saw that what the Torah was concerned about was actually happening. If you look, same page, the Torah was not oblivious to our own emotions. He understood human frailty. The Torah says, Yishav l'cha pen yedavarim l'vavcha b'li'al imor, karvash nata sheva shnata shvishna v'rayin echa v'achicha evyon, v'lo titein lo v'kara alecha el Hashem v'yabacha chet. The Torah says, I know what's going to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I know what you're going to do. I know what's going to happen. It's going to get the end of Shemitah, maybe the sixth year or the beginning of the seventh year around this time, and an ani is going to come to you, a poor person, and say, could I have a loan? And what are you going to say to him? No. Why? Like any human being, because I know in 6 months from now or in 14 months from now, I'm going to have Shemitah stuff him. I'm going to lose my loan. I don't trust that you're going to pay it back to me before Rosh Hashanah of the end of Shemitah year. So what's going to happen? People are going to refrain from giving loans. And the Torah says, that is a prohibition. That's a prohibition. The Torah knows, and it's not oblivious, that we're going to refrain because we're hesitant that we're not going to get our payment back. So the Torah uses very harsh language. I underline four psukim, but we don't have the time to read all four of them. You read it on your own. But the Torah says over and over again, this is a chait, this is a chait. Not only are your debts are going to be canceled by the end of the Shemitah year, and that's called Shemitah Tzachim, but you can't refrain from giving out loans as the Shemitah cycle is waning because you're concerned that your debt's going to be canceled. That's an Aveira. You have to have the same way that you have Emunah and faith and Bitachon that Hashem's going to take care of you during the year of Shemitah and you don't work the land, if you're farmer or otherwise, but you have to have the same faith in Emunah Bitachon that if I give you a loan, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay me back somehow if there's Shemitah Tzachim and you don't get to pay me back before him. What was happening? In 1st century B.C., Hillel Zaken looks around and he sees what? People stopped giving loans. And there's a big problem because what's happening with that? The Ashirim, the rich people, are violating an Issa D'Raisa in the Torah. They're not giving out loans. They're violating the whole thrust of what the Torah wanted as Shemitah Tzachim. And all the poor people basically were not getting the provisions that they needed. And society was not moving. Hillel Zaken is looking around. And he sees that the poor people are not getting the stuff and the loans that they needed for their small businesses. They didn't get the loans that they needed to feed their families. And the Ashirim were violating Yisurim because when it came to the 6th year or 7th year of the Shemitah cycle, they stopped giving out loans. So Hillel Zaken came up with a very, very innovative strategy. And Hillel Zaken said, hey, listen, look, if you look at the Pesukim, you see something very interesting. It says that all of this Shemitah stuff and this canceling of debt only applies between me and Re'ehu, between one person and the next. Imagine if we took one's loan and you transferred those debts and the loan to a Beis Din, to a communal structure, to a Beis Din, to a court, then Shemitah Tzachim will not cancel it. And if you look, let's turn to page 2. Here we go. Anyone who's doing Daf Yomi here, here we go. You can get in. Take out. Here we go. Source number 1. Tzad Hatzim Prizvul, Eino Mishami. So this concept, this thing that Hillel Zaken created, this concept called Prizvul, of moving one's debt and giving it to a basin so that when Shemitah finishes and Shemitah Tzachim came, it didn't cancel my debt because it's no longer you owe me $500. All of a sudden I took my IOU and I gave it to basin. And Shemitah Tzachim doesn't cancel a basin held IOU. Why? Because it's only Shemitah Tzachim only canceling the loans between each the Re'ehu, between me and you. So Tzad Hatzim Prizvul and Mishami. So all of a sudden, Hillel Zaken created a Prizvul. And Prizvul is immune to Shemitah Tzachim. When the end of the year comes, the Shemitah year comes, and this concept of Shemitah Tzachim happens, and there's a cancellation of all debts, if one does a Prizvul, then basically it immunizes your loans from being canceled. So Zerachom and Advarim Shehitkin Hillel Zaken, this is one of the things that Hillel Zaken created. Shirasa Am Shinimnimu Lahavoza Ezeva Avo Mashikasa Batora, Hisham Lakapenya Dabar Yim Labav Kabliyal, right? What we just read, he saw, he looked around, and Ashirim, rich people, were not giving out loans because they knew that their loans were going to be canceled by the end of Shemitah year, and they were violating an Isser in the Torah. So Amma the Hiskin Prizvul. So Hillel said, we have to do something. Social justice, we have to create something to help the people out, so he made a Prizvul. The Zehu Gufush Prizvul. What is a Prizvul? This is what a Prizvul is. Mostrani lachem ploni dayanim shebemakom ploni. I am giving over to you guys, you based in this place. Shekochov sheyeshli eitz ploni shegvenu kod man she'erza. That any loans that I've given over the last bunch of years that are about to be canceled by Shemitah Tzachim are all going to you. V'adayanim chosim l'mata o'edim. And they sign. And the dayanim sign. That's what the Prizvul is. Now you should just know that this concept is actually has a historical antecedent. Hillel Zaken didn't just create something from air. There is a concept in the Gemara that talks about Mosrani Shtarosa Levesin, that you can take most of Shtarosa Levesin, that you can take your IOUs, your actual IOUs, and bring it to Basin, and then Shemitah Tzachim doesn't cancel it. What was the whole Kiddush of Hillel Zaken? Hillel Zaken's Kiddush was that you don't actually have to hand over the IOU to the basin. It's a symbolic transfer. You just have to go to a basin and say, I got a lot of loans out there. I'm lending out a bunch of things. I'm going to symbolically dump it on you as a basin. Please sign. Right? And then Shemitah finishes. And then I can go month later and collect my debt. That's the whole Kiddush of Hillel Zaken. That I don't have to actually give the IOUs. That's already in the Gemara. But what? That I can symbolically go. I don't have to run around collecting all the stuff in the bank. I can actually go to a basin and say, what? Symbolically, I'm transferring over. I'm giving over to you symbolically all the loans that I have. Now, what's the question? What's the problem with this? Yes? Forget about that. That, there's two things. Either it goes to the basin and the basin says you collect it on your own, or just because he wrote the code, we can do it. What's the more fundamental question?
How do you know the symbolism was good enough?
No, we'll get to you later. What?
If God said this, then obviously...
Thank you! God telling us, please, once every 7 years, just trust me. Once every 7 years, don't work the land and have a munah bitachon. Once every 7 years, we want to have like this cleansing, financial cleansing, this equalizing, you know, event to happen financially, economically, so that at the end of the Shemitah year, we want all cancellation of all debts. No matter if you collected it or not. So all of a sudden we're saying, we can do something cool. I can give my IOUs to the basin. Hey, better than that. I symbolically transfer my IOUs to you. And then I can come collect it. That's the thrust of what the pulse of what the Kaddish Baruch Hu wants for us at the end of Shemitah. So how in the world does Hillel Zaken do this? How in the world does this work? So the Gemara itself asks this. Third line, underline, I put a little line that separates the sentence. You see where I did it? Okay, whatever. Come on! What are you doing? The Torah wants us to have Shemitah Kesafim. And Hillel Zaken is going to wake up one day and say, hey, I got a cool loophole. We're not going to do Shemitah Kesafim. So Amar Abaye, Abaye comes along and says, calm down. This is not sacrilege. It's B'Shviyas B'Zman Hazeh. We're talking about Shviyas Shemitah B'Zman Hazeh. Shemitah Kesafim is linked to Yovel. And since there is no Yovel on a biblical level, hopefully B'Mehera B'Yemeinu, we will have Yovel. We'll have many people. That's cool. Right? Then what? Then we'll have Shemitah Kesafim on a biblical level, on a Daraisa level. But Shemitah Kesafim today is only on a rabbinic level. So Abaye says, if it's only on a rabbinic level, and there is an issue, then Hillel HaZaken, who is on a rabbinic stature, pretty big, you know, rabbinic stature, he can come and find a rabbinic loophole to make sure that there is social justice, and to make sure that the Ashirim are not violating an Isser that's found in Re'eh. You should just know, just to be textually honest, and that's probably the first time you'll hear that 300 times this year, if you look at the bottom of the paragraph, Rava Amar, Hefker based in Hayahesker. Even though we don't paskin like Rava, Rava gives another approach, and Rava feels that even if you hold that Shemitah Kesafim is biblical today, you still can do Prizbul. Why? Based on this concept called Hefker based in Hefker, that means Basin has the authority to come over and say, this is yours now, right? And there basically, that gives a concept for the principle that I'm going to Basin and saying, this chesa, now my IOUs are yours. And the Basin is coming to me and saying, hey, you know what? You can have it back. Right? It's like a new payment. Now that's, forget about Rava. Right? I just want to give you, just that you should know, if someone says, you learn Rava, you learned it. Okay. So the Rambam, look at source 2. The Rambam comes along, and thank God he passes like a buying. And says, Ein Shemitah Kesafim Nehogis Min HaTorah LeBizman SheYovo Noeg SheYesham Shemitah Karaka. Shemitah Kesafim is integrally connected to the concept of Yovel. The fact that we don't have Yovel on a biblical level today means that what? That Shemitah Kesafim, the cancellation of our debt, is only on a rabbinic level. And if it's only a rabbinic concept, sorry for saying only rabbinic concept, but if it's a rabbinic concept, then Hillel Zaken has a way of creating a rabbinic strategy to make sure that the rich are still giving money to the poor are collecting their money, and everyone is kind of happy. The interesting thing is, if you look at source 3, the Shulchan Aruch comes along and says something very fascinating. Everyone agrees with Abaye, right? Shemitah Kesafim today is only rabbinic. The Rambam says it. He follows like Abaye. The Shulchan Aruch passes that way. And only today, the whole concept of the cancellation of debt is only rabbinic. The Ramah comes along, Haggah, and says something very interesting. Kenu Askam at the Poskin, that's what most people feel. Avayesh Omrim, the Ein Shemitah Noheges Bezman Hazeh. There are some people who feel that there's no Shemitah at all. That it's so connected to Yovel that once Yovel's not applicable, then there's no Shemitah Kesafim whatsoever. And that's the Balamor and the Raivid, just so you should know parenthetically. Balamor and the Raivid says the whole concept of cancellation of debt Bezman Hazeh today is just a minute chassidus, it's nice, it's nefical, it's nice. But once, you know, we'll wait until Yovel comes along. Once Yovel comes along on a biblical level, then we will have the concept of Shemitah Kesafim. And he says something very cool. He gives us a little history lesson. Now, the Ramah is in the 1500s. And he says, V'nirish aleim samcha v'dinos eilu she'enogim din Shemitah klal bizman hazeh. And I'm looking around. We're getting a little time travel here. I'm looking around in my time, and no one's saying boo about Shemitah Kesafim. No one knows what it is. No one's writing prizbols. No one's worrying about cancellation of debt. And 300 years prior to me, the Rush was walking around. And look at his tshuva. The Rush is screaming around to everyone and saying, prizbol, Shemitah Kesafim. And even the Rush, lo ashkechubei, even the Rush they didn't listen to. So no one's been, like, doing this. Not to say that we're firmer than for the last, you know, 700 years of halakhic literature. Maybe we are. But they didn't do it. Like, there was not even the Ramah says at that time. Forget about saying that it's rabbinic, but for many, many communities, for hundreds of years, people didn't view it as a rabbinic concept. It was just a minhag chassidus. But we don't paskin that way. We paskin like the Shulchan Aruch. Even the Rambam in the Ramah even says initially that Shemitah Kesafim Bizman Hazeh is the Rabbanan, and that gives the muscle for the Hillel HaZaken's concept of Prizbol. Everyone's with me? Sure? We need a recap? No, we're good?
Okay.
Little recap? Okay, little recap. The Torah comes along and tells us that at the end of 7 years, at the end of the Shemitah year, which is going to finish by Rosh Hashanah night, and we dip our little apples in the honey, Shemitah's over, right? So besides, now we can go back to working the land, but there's a concept in Re'eya that says at the end of the Shemitah year, there's something called Shemitas Kesafim, that all of a sudden, all of our debts, all of our loans are canceled. You cannot collect a dime from anyone you lent money to after that. It's an equalizing effect. It's an economic equalizing thing. It's to build a munah bitachon, and that's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do. Cleanse everything, not only the land every 7 years, but also the financial economic situation as well. Who knows what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted. But all of a sudden, Hillel HaZaken, a couple of thousand years ago, Hillel HaZaken said, you know what, we need to create something called a Prizbol. A Prizbol means that I take my IOUs, all the things that I basically lent, and I go to a Beis Din and say to a Beis Din, I'm giving you my loan. You're going to be in charge of my loan. And that itself almost puts it in, not to, you're too young, right, to like Al Gore's lockbox, that puts it into a lockbox, so that when Shemitah all of a sudden comes along and finishes, and Shemitah Kesafim all of a sudden like a hurricane comes through, that your loans are somehow protected. And then after Rosh Hashanah, I can go and collect my loans, and it's not a big deal, because I passed over my loans to a Beit Din. That's all we're doing. The whole reason why it's able to do is because today, the whole concept of Shemitah, of money, Shemitah Kesafim, is only rabbinic. Why? Because it's connected to the jubilee year of Yovel, which is not biblical today. What?
My question was, how come Yovel is so much more important than
Shemitah? Shemitah Kesafim is based on the success that Shemitah Kesafim is intricately linked with Yovel. Once Yovel doesn't happen on a biblical level, then Shemitah Kesafim does not have the muscle to cancel the loans and cancel the land and all that comes with Yovel. Remember Yovel, when the 50th year is finished with the seventh cycle of Shemitah, then all of a sudden all land goes back to the original owners. So that concept of canceling things and canceling a history of money, that notion of Shemitah Kesafim, of loans, is somehow connected to the mother of all cancellations, and that's Yovel. So if the mother of all cancellations is not going to exist, then you're not going to have the seven-year cycle of Shemitah Kesafim. Come on, we didn't do anything yet. What?
Where do we know that Yovel isn't applicable anymore?
Mishnayos. Next.
Why do we still do regular
Shemitah?
The land.
Because there is no principle for Shemitah. For land. No, there is. There are.
We get that.
No. Shemitah Kesafim is connected to Yovel. Shemitah. There's a question of whether or not Shemitah is Doraita, Dorabanan, but what we do uphold Shemitah. The question is, how do you get fruit from the ground? And there are different innovations, rabbinic innovations, of how do we do it. There's Mechiras Karka, that you sell it to an Arab, and then you were able to scattered, or you do OTA RS and you collect it into one, you know, basin collecting unit. That's what we've been doing for last year. You're just coming in at the end of a Shemitah year, but this is basically what we've been living with for the entire year of living through the Shemitah cycle. We do Shemitah. The whole question is Shemitah stuff into something separate. Okay? Can we go on? Yes? No? Yeah.
Can we do Shemitah stuff in the outside of Eretz
Yisrael? Yes. B'chol makom.
Why?
It's not connected to the land.
But if you're trying to draw the connection between Yovel and Shemitah Kesafim, Yovel is Kinji Mosek.
Very good. That's all the questions in the Gemara asked that goes through the whole Shaka V'Tarya. Very good. 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 Whole Shaka V'Tarya on that concept. If it's connected to Yovel, then it should only be the Eretz Yisrael, but it's not. It's the whole Makom. Shemitah Kesafim is global. It's a very good question. Kol HaKavod. Now, Bar Shem Tevanta to like 2.5 blot of Gemara. So we go on. So what constitutes a basin? What constitutes a basin? Right now, three people. Which three people? Which three people? Right now we have this concept. We already diffused the notion of this Shemitah Kesafim and we made it rabbinic. And now I can go to a basin and say, here are my IOUs. It's going to be canceled. I mean, it's going to be protected, so therefore I can collect my loans after Rosh Hashanah. What constitutes a basin for Shemitah Kesafim? You want to guess, Matan?
Three Jewish accountants.
Three Jewish accountants. Walked into a bar. So the Gemara quotes Shmuel, and Shmuel says it has to be a basin chashuv. It has to be an important, very a basin of stature, like Sura Naharda. Shmuel was Rosh Yeshiva of which community? Sura or Naharda? Naharda, very good. So he says it has to be like a basin chashuv, a basin of such stature that is like from the focal point of religious literature, of Jewish literature, of halachic source, like Sura Naharda, like the basin of one of these communities. That's the basin of Chashuv. And then the Rabbeinu Tam, look at this, look at source 4. Rabbeinu Tam comes along. Rabbeinu Tam zalkasa v'sefer ha-yashu d'shvias noheges v'zana zeh. V'hevi rayim in the chazina l'chol hanu amarai shmur v'rav nachmu rabba v'vayi v'rabbanu d'bei rav ashi shayinogim shmitas k'safim v'vavel. Yes, shmitas k'safim is alive and well. It's on a rabbinic level. However, the Rabbeinu Tam says, "Enoch the prizbol b'zman hazeh." You can't write a prizbol. Sorry. So Rabbeinu Tam says there is a concept of shmitas k'safim. It's rabbinic. You have to watch out. Your loans are going to be canceled by the end of the year. But the only way out of it of the prizbol, you can't do. Why? She'enanu mumchim k'ravami k'ravasi. Because we don't have a base in chashuv. Rabbeinu Tam takes the base in chashuv so literally, and he says, I don't know. This is Rabbeinu Tam. I don't have a basin chashuv in my era. We don't have a basin chashuv like Sura Naharda, Ravami, Ravasi. So, sorry guys. Shemitah Kesafim is alive and well. Maybe there's an innovation that Hillel created, but we have a technicality we can't get over because we don't have a basin chashuv. But then, thank God, a little later, he changes his mind. V'shuv chazer ba Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam changes his mind. Because of who ba'atma prizbol. And he still said, okay, fine, you can write a prizbol. And how did he interpret Beis Nechashuv? He said, Beis Nechashuv bedoro, meaning that you have to go to the most stature, the basin of most stature in your generation. That means today, that means the basin of Yushalayim, or Banut, or Badat, or the RCA, or something like that. So a basin that is nationally, globally recognized as an authoritative basin. It's not just, can you guys get together for a second and just do this, right? It's not. So we have Rabbeinu Tam says there has to be literally a basin chashuv, and we have a problem. Then he changes his mind. He said, "Fine, fine. Basin chashuv means the most important basin of your generation." Then the Rif and the Rush come along and say, in the end of source 4, and say that who even said that we passed like Shmuel? Shmuel was the one who got us into trouble, right? Shmuel was the one who said it has to be a basin chashuv. And the Rif and the Rush says we don't pass like Shmuel this way. And therefore, you can pull three people together as a basin, not even accountants. The same way that Erev Rosh Hashanah, what do we do in the morning after Shacharis? Hataras Nedarim. And who are you picking? Are you picking a basin chashuv? I don't think so. Sorry, guys. Right? You're pulling three people in front of you and saying, "Here, I'm doing Hataras Nedarim." Right? So the Rif and the Rush says that what? That Hataras Nedarim. Not a basin, any basin. Three people, three Jews, not Krovim, will constitute a basin. So we have three different opinions. We have an opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, initial opinion of Rabbeinu Tam that says it has to be based in Chashuv historically, which we don't have today. Then we have the second opinion of Rabbeinu Tam that says, Rabbeinu Tam says that what? Oh, come on, Chashuv Vedoro. And the third opinion of Riffin the Rush means, says what? Any basin. This is the most driest topic in the world, right? Any basin could constitute, could be enough for your prizbo. The Shulchan Aruch passes like Rabbeinu Tam number two. The Ramah says that we can possibly like the third opinion, that any basin. So Puzbol today is rabbinic. You can grab three people together and you can just say, I'm giving over symbolically my chavos. Shemitah ends. You enjoy your apples and your honey. A few days later you can collect your loan. Right? According to the Ramah. Okay? Hedyotel's three people, your friends. Three people, according to the Ramah. Shulchan Aruch says you should strive for a basin chashuv. Yes. Because Shmuel came along and says, if you're going to counter, very good, if you're going to take something on a rabbinic level, and that rabbinic concept is going to somehow fight against the rabbinic concept of Shemitah Tzafim, then you need to have something with muscle. You have to have a basin that can make it almost like a takana of every single generation saying we're smashing the concept of Shemitah Tzafim. You can't just go to your three neighbors and say, hey guys, can you do the Shemitah Tzafim for me? Right? It doesn't work. But the Ramah says, no, it does work. It's a technicality. It's fine. You just need a formal basin, a dina mamonos. You don't have to have mumchim, just three people doing it.
It was the Ramah who came up first and said that because of the technicality, it
couldn't
be done, right?
Rabbeinu Tam.
Oh, Rabbeinu Tam, okay. So, what made him change his mind?
I think practicality.
So basically, he just, like, there must have been a reason he said at first you can't do it.
So maybe he probably was taking Shmuel literally, initially. He said that you probably need a basin chashuv, and he literally wanted us to get a basin chashuv to be able to do this. Then he probably was starting to waver like the rift in the rush, saying, you know what, maybe we don't possibly like Shmuel anyway. And maybe he had a little bit of Hillel HaZaken in his blood. Hillel HaZaken was looking around and he wanted to do something to affect some change. And he knew that he was shackled, but shackled by something rabbinic. And maybe Rabbeinu Tam also felt the same way. He had a little Hillel HaZaken blood running through his veins. He said, you know what, I'm shackled, but we have all these things, all things in place. Let's just get over that hump. And he got over it. Okay? We don't. I'm just giving it to you. I'm just being textually honest. I could have started there, but it's just cool. I'm sorry for thinking it's cool. Maybe I should get my head examined. Yeah, what?
Does the person who makes the principle have to tell, like, all the people that he's loaned to that he made the principle?
Awesome. I'll get to you later. I'm still stuck in the basin state. Yeah.
Do you work with oil contracts as well?
Oh, great. We're going to get to you in 37 seconds. Okay? So the question is, it happens once every 7 years. So I would like to not rely on the Ramah. The Ramah says, get your three friends and sit them down and do like Hazaras Adarim, it's fine. It happens once every 7 years. Try to get a base in Chashuv. It'll be nice, right? How many things do you do every 7 years? The problem with that is what? If everyone relied on a base in Chashuv, what? Forget about it. You would have to start lining up 15 months before the end of Shemitah year, to everyone get their appointments with this basin to be able to do it. Technically, it's impossible. So the question I have for you, you ready? What's your name?
Michael.
Okay. Michael, here's a question. Can you design something that allows me to rely on a basin chashuv, but allows me to avoid the technicality? Think like a rabbi.
Not sure. That's a compliment.
What?
Really quick way of doing it.
Okay. Speed dating, speed principle. Okay, we're working with that. What?
What?
How does that help?
If you
cast it in, what?
Rent contract, you have two agents signed, and then you send it in the bank, and all they have to do is
what is it? You're almost there.
If you get reminders that were appointed by the bank.
Oh, that's cool, that's cool.
That's interesting. Yeah.
You have that? Yeah.
I was gonna say, like, how the basin like does that
formal thing, and then they send it out to all the other...
Like a Lubavitch Prus Bowl. Throughout the home, and yeah, what?
Then they send it out to all the other smaller basins, for them to...
Yeah, this is nice. I like this. It's very innovative. It's very cool. That's good. I like it. At least you're being creative.
Email.
Email. Email works. That will, when we get to cool topics during the year, we'll do that. Not this is the Prus Bowl.
Well, topic. Yeah, what? It's interesting. You're all trying to do basin chashuv by proxy, either to create Shnishim or to create some kind of template for them to follow. So there's a one-liner in Maseches Shviyos Yerushalmi, in Jerusalem Shviyos. It says, Afilu Hein Baromi, even if they're in Rome. So what does that mean? So the Ron comes along, a bit in Eastern, the Ron comes along and says, what does it mean, Afilu Hein Baromi? It means even if your documents are in Rome. Meaning that you can go to a basin and say, I'm symbolically giving you over all my IOUs, so it's going to go into the lockbox so the Shemitah hurricane doesn't affect them, and I can collect it next week. And even if my documents are not readily available, even if they're in Rome, I forgot them in, you know, in my fleeing for persecution, right? I forgot them in Rome. But the Mordechai comes along and says, no, that's not the subject. That's not the pronoun. If people hate Baromi, it means even if the... basins in Rome. They went on like a cruise, right? Even if the basins in Rome and you're sitting in Yerushalayim, you can still do it, which is really cool. So we have the Ron's approach and we have the Mordechai's approach. The Ron really wants you to what? To be in front, in the presence of the basin. But his kula is what? That they don't have to be a basin chashuv. You can get your friends. The Mordechai says that what? The chumrah is that you should try to have a basin chashuv. An important basin, but the kula is what?
They don't.
Very good. They don't have to be there. You just go in front of two witnesses and say to them, hi, I'm giving this over. You're going to represent the basin wherever they are. I'm just symbolically giving it over. Right? Cool. And it works. And those are, I mean, Mazel Tov, you just finished Prus Bowl, but those are the two basic kind of Prus Bowl sarot. You'll see them. Actually, if you turn to the next page, I'll just steal my own thunder. But look at the page. If you want to look at the next one, it's in English or... On the top of the page, you have the either Ron or Mordechai. You tell me which one am I looking at. Top of the page. Look at it in English if it helps. Who is it? Is it Ron or the Mordechai? It's what? The Ron, right? Because you see three signatures. The three signatures mean, and it says die on it. Right, judge. Right, you're going in front of three people, and that's what you might do afterwards. Right afterwards, you have a choice. When we finish this year, you can go over to three friends or three ramen and say, you're going to be my basin. I'm relying on the Ramah that I don't have to have a basin chashuv, right? And I'm passing like the Ramah that you have to be in front of me. You're going to be my basin. I'm giving you over symbolically my sarot so I can collect it in a week from now or 2 weeks from now or a month from now. Or the second approach is, no, I want to happen once every 7 years. I want like Rabbeinu Tam. I want a Beis HaChashuv. I want a Pasuk like Shmuel that says, Afilu, you know, Beis HaChashuv Kitzurin HaHardah. And I want to have it. But the problem is, technically, it's impossible. We're not going to line up in front of the Rabbeinu Yerushalayim for the next 3 days and do a sleep in like Star Wars, you know, breakout. So what are we going to do? So we get two Edom, and the Edom are going to sign on behalf of the Beis, which is basically this section. In some way, the proxy of the basin, right? They don't even have to know about it. They're just representing it because the whole thing is a concept of a symbolic nature. What? As long as they're not a karov to you or a karov to each other, okay? And if they don't watch any DVDs or stay up past 2 o'clock in curfew, what?
The reason that we're doing the basin. It seems like we're trying to like put a special thing like that the Prus Bowl should be in a special base. But here it's like, yeah, we want it to be
okay.
Those
you're beautiful, Rafa. Can I tell you what's going on here? What did the Ramah say? Go back to the Ramah. Did the Ramah really feel that there's Shemitah Sakhim today?
Derabana.
Did he really even feel that so Derabana?
Maybe not.
He's going on through history. He's quoting the Rosh, he's quoting the Balamor, he's quoting the Ravid. We just did that. I don't think he thinks that there's so much muscle to this rabbinic thing. So therefore, the Ramah Shitasa, according to his own opinion, feels that he can be much more lenient when it comes to Shemitah Tzachim. Everyone else who feels that it's really true, Dirabana, is rabbinic, and therefore, if you're going to have rabbinic versus rabbinic, and you're going to have a rabbinic loophole, give it some muscle. Give it a basin kosher. You know, don't go just through the motions. Okay? Next.
Timing of the principal. Timing of the principal is very important. Because if you're going to give over symbolically your IOUs to the basin, basically it's only going to protect all those loans that you had before you signed the principal. If today you sign a principal with your makeshift basin and tomorrow you lend $600 to a friend, that $600 is not going to be protected by the principal. Right?
Right.
Makes sense. Otherwise, it's ridiculous, right? Right, you're giving over an IOU. You can't do it in the future. You can't protect it. I mean, there's so much magic you can do with the halakha. This is just basically protecting the IOUs of the past and not something in the future. You should just know that's why, hold on a second, sorry. That's why we do it so close to Rosh Hashanah as possible. We do it as close as possible to the end of the year, because if you did it in the beginning of the year, then what will happen? You'll lend to other individuals, and you don't have the ability to collect. And if you do collect after the Rosh Hashanah next, then what happens? Your volume is to the right, your volume is to the Rabbanan of collecting Shemitah Tzafim. You just know one thing, just to be, again, intellectually honest, there is one opinion that says that actually Shemitah Tzafim doesn't happen at the end of the Shemitah year, but it happens at the beginning of the year, and that's the Rosh. We don't possibly like him. But the Rosh, the Rishon, and the Rosh says that it happens in the beginning of the year. We missed a chance because that was a year ago. And therefore, what do? We paskin like it happens at the end of the year, and you do it as close to Rosh Hashanah as possible, but not too close to Rosh Hashanah, because sometimes you forget. And I'll give you two cases of halacha before I get to you, my time. What happens if you're an American, right? You're an American, proud American, not a Canadian? Who's a Canadian? Right, you're an American. What's your name? Okay, right? And you lent $1 million to an Israeli. Right, you give $1 million for a startup business, right? All of a sudden, you're procrastinating. You two think you procrastinate? No. Okay, forget about you. Anyway, okay, so you procrastinate, and everyone's screaming, do a principal. I don't know what a principal is, right? And all of a sudden, Erev Rosh Hashanah, you're running around, getting your Coke, and getting your wine, and getting your little pomegranate. And all of a sudden, Erev Rosh Hashanah afternoon, you're like, I've got to do a principal. And you walk over to your rabbi and say, could you get me the principal contract? I gave $1 million to my Israeli friend. What's the problem? Your Israeli friend is dipping his apple in his honey 7 hours ahead of you, and he's enjoying the fact that he doesn't have to pay you back $1 million because you were too late in your principal. Uh-huh. Well, that's not really true. So the question is, does it go after the malva or goes after the lova? Does it go after the borrower or goes after the lender? When does Shemitah Tzafim happen? We don't know. Question was asked to Rav Orbach. Rav Orbach threw up his hands. Not like that. He doesn't throw up his hands. But Rav Orbach said, I don't know. And therefore, we don't leave principal to last minute. There is a minhag of doing at Hataras Nadarim of the Erev Rosh Hashanah. There are, if you go to shul in Israel or any place you are, after Hataras Nadarim, they also do principal as well. But you shouldn't leave it too late in the afternoon. What happens if
you do?
What happens if you do? There's a question whether or not. So there's a question whether or not your principal works. So the only way you can collect that $1 million is if the guy comes to you out of the graciousness of his heart and says, I know I owe you nothing. Here's a gift. But if doesn't say that formula, you can't collect it, nor does he owe you a single cent. So write a principal. What? I like that. Principalized. Good.
Does it count definitely, or do you have to make, let's say, the loan
is like
for like 14 years?
Oh, very good. We're going to get to you in next page. Then we'll, God, it's late. Yeah, what?
What about a tarif and darim, where you let to annul your vow in the future? But by the principle, if you do it too early, you can't...
Because it didn't happen yet. That's personal. It's not versus IOUs. It's about loans. It's about another person. You can personally say that I'm going to make a t'nai. I'm going to say that that from now on, the certain vows that I make for myself, I know, even though I seem committed, are going to be watered down. But you can't do that to another person. You're in an economic relationship with another person. Your principal is going to be dated, and the contracts are going to have to be, compared and contrasted. You can't just do that pre-date or post-date. Actually, you can pre-date a principal. Because why? It only messes you up. You can't post-date it. Okay? Yeah. I love you. We'll get to you in a second. Awesome. What's your name?
Avi.
Great. Awesome. These guys are awesome. Keep a smile though. You just created a whole concept of halacha that you can take a bill for payment and you can transform it into a loan once you write actually a bill. Some say that even if you just calculate on what's owed to you after a paint job, or someone does you, you know, a dry cleaning bill, all those kind of stuff, the moment that you calculate that you're owed something for some act, it automatically becomes a loan. So any act of money, it doesn't have to be a loan itself, a loan itself, it automatically becomes transformed because in your mind, mentally, you've already figured it as money coming to you. So therefore, you have to do a prizbal to make sure that it protects it. Yes, and if you do a prizbal, it protects that. Okay, we just took care of that part of the share. What?
Why can't we say that any loan that I'm making was, like you could do it before, way before a shunim and say any loan that I'm
okay, making. Okay, Rafa, you're right. I can go over to a person saying, I'm going to give you $700. I'll t'nai on stipulation that when Shemitah ends, Shemitah Tzafim doesn't happen. Right? That works. That protects it. That immunizes your loan. So the Ritva comes along and says, so what's the whole big whoop about, you know, Hillel HaZaken's Prizbal? Why doesn't everyone do that? Every single person during 7 years just do that. Problem? We forget. Not during the 6.5 years before the end of Shemitah, when you're loaning something to another person, you're going to forget this formula. And therefore you do the Prizbal. But yes, you're right. You can stipulate for the future with another person in front of you. What's your name again? That was your question. Only in front of the other person because it's an economic transaction. We're doing it tonight. We're building it into the system. Come on, let me finish. What?
also, like,
does it
include
not
Jewish?
Only Jew to Jew.
Re'eu.
I'm going to still sleep in. Yeah, what? Yeah. I probably, give me 10 seconds. Because I think I'm going to answer like 90% of your questions, I hope. Right? Just give me a moment. Okay. What happens if you're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, Chazaras HaShas, Mincha afternoon? This is my segue. This is not. Okay? And you're davening, and you just remember that you didn't do a prizbal yet. Right? So the question is, you can't get a basin, there's no pen, there's no pencil around, 2 minutes before Rosh Hashanah. Can you grab 3 people and do it orally? Can you say, you're my basin, I'm not doing any signing, whatever it is, you're my basin. Mostwani lachem, kol ha'shor she'eshli, kol ha'chov she'eshli, I'm passing it over to you because of Shemitah Tzafim. Does it work? Does an oral transmission of this symbolic transfer work? Yes or no?
I would say yes if you do the whole, like, pen trick they use for selling
comments. That's like the panacea for everything. You know, that and sticking the knife in, like, the dirt. Who has, like, a plant in their house with, like, a knife in it? Mazel tov, right? Okay. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, we'll make fun of you later. Okay. The silverware tree. So what do we say? We actually say, look at the halak. Turn back to your sources, to your makoros. Look at six. Talmidei chachamim shehuvu zeh masik var v'talmidim. If talmidei chachamim, rabbis are lending money to each other. And he does it orally, does it verbally, does it work? So the Shulchan Aruch says it only works between Talmidei Chachamim. Rafa, tell me why the Shulchan Aruch says that it only works for Talmidei Chachamim.
Because other people won't remember?
No! What? No!
Because they're like a basin.
Thank you very much. This is the Shulchan Aruch L'shitaso. The Shulchan Aruch feels that Shemitah Tzafim is really a strong rabbinic concept. So if you're going to negate it, you have to give as much muscle as you want to that counterforce. So if you're going to do a verbal mesira to a basin that weakens it already, you can only do it with Talmidei Chachamim. The Ramah feels what? The Ramah feels that it's very weak, this whole concept of Shemitah Tzafim. He talked about the Rosh and the Raivan and all these people during centuries that no one even said boo about Prizbal. No one had a concern about Shemitah Tzafim. The Gdolei Hador tried to fight it, but the masses never did it. And the Ramah feels that it's a watered-down rabbinic, you know, issue today. And therefore the Ramah is very mako. You can have 3 hedyotas, 3 friends. be the Beis Din, and you don't need a Beis Din Choshev. So, when it's posed to the Ramah, could you do a verbal Mesira to a Beis Din, the Ramah is going to say, what, Sammy? Sam. You can! Right? You can! Shulchan Aruch says it has to be Talmidei Chachamim, because you're giving it more of a Cheshivus, but the Ramah says you can do it orally. Okay, just a few miscellaneous halachos. 8 quick miscellaneous halachos, and then we'll get to writing this puppy. Number 1, dating principle is essential. We talked about that. Number 2, a person who lends, what happens if he loses his principle? You should keep your principle. Put it in a file cabinet. What happens if you lose it? Is it over? Or do we believe you? So we believe you. Why? Because as the principle in Shas says, Lo Shavik, that when you have two things in front of you and they're readily available, a kosher cheese, you know, burger or a trafe burger in front of you, we assume that the person is going to eat the kosher food. When it requires no effort whatsoever, when it requires no, you know, expense whatsoever, the person is going to take the something that's heter. So lo shavik yisura, you know, heter v'achol yisura. Prizbal is so easy. So if a person comes after Rosh Hashanah and says, "I wrote a prizbal, I lost it," we believe him. Okay. So just have that in mind. So even if you lose your prizbal, don't think that you owe your neighbor hundreds of dollars.
Anyway,
what?
You have witnesses anyway.
Correct. You have witnesses anyway. Number 3 exception. An exception. A bunch of exceptions. What happens? This is Matan. What happens if you write a loan, but the loan itself has a certain shelf life? Its span is for multiple years that goes through the Shemitah. Does the Shemitah cancel it? No. Good. The Shemitah doesn't cancel it because its lifespan carries past Shemitah. We're only talking about loans that should have been collected before the end of Shemitah year. Okay? So if any loan, I mean, that's Source 7, if you want to see it, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Amal V'Chadir L'Esther Shanim Ein Shviyish M'Shamto. Right? If you write a loan and you say this is a 10-year loan, then obviously the end of Shemitah is not going to cancel it because it had a lifespan that passed, that went past Shemitah. Hold on. Number 4 exception. If you take collateral for a loan, Shemitah Ksafim doesn't cancel it. Why? Because if you have a collateral, it's as if you've collected it already. The loan's already in a collection process. If you're holding on to a mashkon, a collateral, then it's as if you've already taken some form of payment. And therefore what? Then nothing. Shemitah Ksafim doesn't affect it at all. What?
In that case, if someone started paying someone back already, then it doesn't, you know, like
the payment. Maybe. There are some economists that's already a process of it, you're already into it, and the moment and the money that's already been paid is considered qua mashkon, so that will work. Others would not, but since we are makeo with it, it probably would work. Yeah?
You think for that, if you say that still payable after he does, then you still have to pay back the loan?
So yes. If your loan is a 10-year loan, that, what?
Something else. You said when you make the loan, you said...
Al-Tanai, if you stipulate it, yes.
Yeah, so why, so I mean, if the tax system were to say that, why would that not just become, you said like you would forget it.
That's where there's lots of... Principle's easy, but that's what I think it should become part and parcel. That's what the Ritva said. Very good. Rashi came out to the Ritva said that. It should be part and parcel of how Jews lend to each other. That as a Jew lends to another individual, you should say, Shemitah Ksafim is not going to cancel a sign. But sometimes you don't do it that way, and you give money.
Said, so he will figure it out on principle, right?
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you just said this? Hey, everybody adds this.
That's the Ritva's question, because he said people are going to forget, and people lend on the bus stop, and they don't have a shtar there, and people are not going to remember El Tanai, and people don't know. If for hundreds of years people forgot about the concept of Shemitah Ksafim, they're not going to remember El Tanai. So what do? The once every 7 years, rabbis come and remind the masters, and they write this thing, and they fix it. Yeah?
Is like working a job, is that always going to be considered a loan?
Correct. So that's why we do principal in the morning, latest thing that we do in the morning. But it has to be a job that there's money coming to you and that the individual is expecting that money to come in. It's called kiva tova, that you're already expecting that money and that payment is already transformed into a loan or quasi-loan. A few more exceptions. We talked about the Ritva. Loans to orphans. Buy orphans, two orphans, yisomim. Why? Let's think if someone is really on the ball here. Orphans. Because their estate is considered always run by They've been very good. What about charities? What about gemach? What about stuckas? The organization is not considered Isharei'ehu. It's not considered between you and a fellow Jew. It's considered between you and a charity or a quasi-basin. Charities, gemach, stuckas already are collective or communal. You don't have to worry about it. If they have predominant share as a predominant ruling body, the same thing with like Mechirat Chametz also, probably also what. But I think it's not a notion of one address for something. I think it's whether or not it's considered communal in nature. All the Achronim look at it as not saying it's you versus another person, therefore charities or organizations of charities or gemach are going to be immune from Shemitah's Kesafim. They view it as a Basin role. Basin should be involved in Stucca. Basin should be involved in Gemach. So if you are taking loans or if a charity organization is giving loans, that's going to be immune from Shemitah's Kesafim because that's considered a Basin function, even if it might not be a formal Basin.
Not like Kibbutz.
What?
Like Kibbutz,
no, I don't think it's immune. I think it's not. It's a notion of a Basin function, not a communal concept. Yeah.
These three guys that you make into your basin.
It's your basin. Just give them all covered. Your friends. Yeah.
Do they have the knowledge of
Lefkos? I think any basin in any community probably knows less than you guys do at this point. So no, they don't have to be. They don't have to be mumchim and dinei mamonos. They just have to be almost. They just have to be recipients of forms according to the Ramah. Same way for Hadaras Nadarim. Yeah. And then we just...
You said it ruled out organizations.
Charitable organizations. Correct. Okay.
What if you don't know the person you're lending to is Jewish
or not? You don't have to specify in your prosbul. You realize that. That's the whole Chiddush of Hillel. The Chiddush of Hillel is that you don't have to hand the IOUs to the basis. You're basically saying, Kol shows that I have with Jews. So if he's Jewish, then it's covered in this prizbal. If he's not Jewish, then you never intended it to be. Okay? You're covered. Yep.
Well, for all these contracts and loans, what have you, they all require the kinyan to even get started.
Correct.
But as you just said for
Hillel,
if it can be just passed on for such a whimsy, all my things are passed on, how can you pass on that request to a complicated kinyan?
Okay, you're awesome. Thank you very much. This is the last technicality. So you're looking at this thing, that it's a massive responsibility. You're moving something over, and yet we're looking at it so, flippantly. You're taking your IOUs, you're taking on this concept, of, which really, theoretically, should be a biblical Zoraisa concept, just because of happenstance, because it's Durabanan, but and because of the innovation of Hillel HaZaken, but we're going over and saying, right? That's ridiculous. How does it work? So the muscle for all of this is one technicality, which gets a little difficult. The only way Prisbal works is that if the borrower owes some land, or he's renting some land, or has some connection of even just a tiny amount of land. Why? Because that's as if it's already in a collateral basis. Meaning that what? That's as if he has land, right? And you can somehow make a lien on it if he's not going to pay you back, then it's already in the concept when you're doing a prizbal, he has to say, you have to know that the malva, the lova that has land. So this way, it's already as if like the collateral, it's already in the process of collection. So what do we do today? You guys, how many of you own real estate? How many of you rent? So some poskim say that your tuition is considered rent, and you don't have to do it. Some people who are not in a tuition base, they're living with their parents, they don't have any connection to karka at all, they don't rent, they don't own, so what do? So that when the person's writing his prizbal, when he's in front of the basin, he takes a pen, he takes a handkerchief, and he says, I'm giving him as a gift, the borrower, a foot of real estate, just something, so that this prizbal has the anchor, the muscle, of that land, so it's already in a collection base, in a collateral sense of moving it forward. Got it? But I think you guys, as post can say, you can rely on this notion that your tuition is your rent and is your connection to it, as long as people still switching rooms, or you guys got your mattresses? If you have mattresses, I'm not sure Shana Ben has, right? So if you have that, I think that's enough to do a regular prosbul. Three, and then we wrap up. What? there needs to be some kind of muscle to allow the principal to hang on to, right? You can't just go to three people and saying, I'm giving over my loans, right? The last technicality is that the borrower has to have some land. It's a very technical thing. It's a very complicated concept. It talks about that you have to have some land when you borrow the money for the principal to work. Why? Because I'm envisioning it as if it's already something that I can lean on, L-I-E-N, that I already have a lien on that land that I can somehow start collecting it. It's almost like a collateral. It's almost like a guarantee to that loan. So once I have that, and once I identify some kind of land that you own, it's as if already the collection started to happen. And that allows me to already say that it's going to be immune to Shemitah stuff because we're already in a some kind of relationship of an economic relationship and already getting some payment back.
And you don't need a principal at all because
Nachon, but it's not strong enough because it's not really a collateral. The principal is working on so many different things. It's working on that it's derabbanan. It's working on a little bit of hefker based and hefker of rava, and it's working on a little bit of this technicality just to fulfill all opinions that there is already some kind of form of a quasi collateral. Got it? It's too complex. It's I don't understand it. But you know, just that's all I can probably basically relate. Yeah. Correct, because it's doing basin work, or it's a function of basin.
So the thing is, you think that the rain would be
I don't think it's an issue whether or not it's a person or people. I think it's an issue whether or not it's a function of a basin. That's what the heter is. It's not a kibbutz. It's not an organization. It's not wall-bound. It's whether or not this charity, this gemach, is doing basin functions. And if they're doing loans, if they're taking loans, they're going to be immune to Shemitah Kesafim because it's already being viewed as overseen by Beis Din. Last question, let's wrap it up. What?
I'm trying to understand the whole Hokkaido thing. Let's say like I was a lender, and I wanted to get a loan, and someone bought like $2,000 from me, and using their house for Hokkaido.
The Shemitah Kesafim doesn't count for you then.
Oh, no, but I mean like, the thing is that, does that give me a right as a lender? Can I just choose to take your house?
I don't think you're legally allowed to because unless they default on a payment.
No, I wouldn't have to worry about that.
No, but good question. Okay, let's finish. I just want to end with one statement. The Torah uses very, very harsh. Go to the first page for a second. The Torah uses very harsh language. It uses a bizarre word. Here it goes again, bizarre. What does he say? What does the Torah say? He shama lecha pen yedavar im levavcha bli'al le'mor. Torah says there's an ister. We don't want rich people not to pay, to give out money before the end of Shemitah because they're worried. It's going to be lawless. It's going to be bli'al. Where else in Tanakh or in the Torah does bli'al occur? Go for it. What?
What does it occur?
What word bli'al? Okay, in Re'e, same parsha. Yatzu anashim bein b'diyam mikirbecha v'yadichwe yoshvei yiram, iran idacha. They're going to be individuals who are causing people to do avodah zarah. You're going to have this community, this city that's going to be basically susceptible to being destroyed. Anshei bli'al. It's a very, you know, it's a scarce word used in Tanakh, bli'al. So you have to ask yourself, we're using bli'al by people who understandably don't want to lend out money because they're scared that, you know, that they're going to lose their money, and we're using the same language, the linguistic similarities to a person who is an Ovid of Avodah Zarah and making other people do Avodah Zarah, really corrupting a whole town. I think it's a little bit severe, it's a little bit harsh to use that same kind of language. So some explain that no, because what's the whole concept of bli'al? It's bli'ol. Bli'ol yerashamayim, without the yoke, without recognition of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A person who is over to Avodah Zarah, a person stirring other people to do Avodah Zarah, is a person without the ol of Yerushalayim. It's a person who took off the yoke of Yerushalayim off of his back, and he says, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And a person at the end of Shemitah, if he hasn't internalized the message of Shemitah year, the Shemitah year was what?
this is my kamanasa, this is my field, this is my farm, I'm supposed to get my sustenance from it, and I'm staying away from it for a whole year to have emunah and bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to provide for me. I'm going to do something so illogical and stay away from actually producing my parnasa, and God's going to take care of it. And after a year of doing that, you're still worried that you're not going to get it, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to provide you. If you give a loan to a person who's knocking on your door, then obviously you also are taking off the ol of Yerushalayim mitzvot and the ol of emunah bitachon. Mit Hashem, we have a very cool once every 7 years mitzvah to do. You should just know that there are some individuals that are knowing that even after they write a prizbal, that they give $1 or $2 or 5 shekel or 1 shekel to a friend. So that what? So they actually experience in our Mekayim the mitzvah of Shemitah Ksafim. So that even after you wrote a prizbal to protect yourself, you still loan to somebody else, so you actually can have the hurricane of Shemitah Ksafim come in and cancel some form of debt that was written or was given after you wrote a prizbal, and it is your decision right now to make. You can pick 3 friends, put them as your basin, sign it off, right? You want to help them do it?
You prefer basin or the other?
It is equally fine. Most all people say either one is completely fine. You can pass in, as we're gonna say this so many times throughout the year. Every chumrah has a kula, and every kula has a chumrah. You're going to hear that ad nauseum from me for the entire year. There's a chumrah of the ran that you have to have the basin in front of you. The kula is that it can be anyone. The chumrah of the Mordechai has to be a basin of chashuv. The kula is that you can do it in abstention proxy. So do whatever you want, and enjoy your prizbling.
Okay.